Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Hey Amud Aleph. The Gemara is discussing the line from the Mishnah, Mitaknin et Kilkulei Amayim Shebirshut Rabim. One can fix up the problems that happen in the Rishut Rabim. Rashi says, Go Avanim Mishnaflu Machmad Abor. Something fell into the cistern, needs to be dredged out. So Chatita in, you're allowed to dredge them out to take out the sediment or rocks that are laying at the base of the cistern. That you could take out on Chol HaMoed, but Chafira lo, to dig one from scratch, that you're not allowed to do. Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, lo shanu ela she'in rabim tzrichim lahem. That's only if it's not needed by the public. Avar rabim tzrichim lahem, afilu chafira mutar. If it's needed by the public at large, then you can dig a fresh cistern or a fresh bore in order to have mayim for the rabim. Mar says, v'chi rabim tzrichim lahem mishori. Is it really true that if there's a necessity for the public interest that you can't dig it out? Vatanya, don't we have a braita? Chotutim borot, shichin u'me'arot shel yachid, ve'in tzarech lamar shel rabim. One is allowed to dredge out a cistern, a cave, or a built-out water capture mechanism. All these are different types of borot, shichin me'arot, different types of mechanisms for capturing water. The Gemara in Baba Kama discusses the exact difference between them. A bor is a cistern, shichin is something where it's laden with rocks around, built up through piling around stones. It's a quasi-cistern, but built by building it up versus using the actual ground or bedrock for the bor. And marot are caves. So that of a yachid, you're allowed to dredge out on Chol HaMoed. And of course, you can do it for rabim. Ve'en chofrim borot shichim marot shel rabim. You're not allowed to dig afresh or anew a bor shiach u'me'ara for the public need, and certainly if you can't do it for the public, you can't do it for an individual. So you see over here that there is no permission granted for chafira, even if it's tzorech rabim. My love, bishit rabim tzorechim lahem, isn't that right to talking about? It makes no qualification. It must be speaking about even a case when the rabim need it. I says, lo, bishain rabim tzorechim lahem. That's the case where it's not needed. Omar says, the kavatol gabi yachid. Now how are you going to do the parallel case by yachid? Shain yachid tzorech lahem. So if a yachid does not need it, then chatita mishori, then why can he dredge out at all? It's one thing to dredge out the public areas, even if there's no immediate need, because that is a public need over the long term. But for a yachid to dredge out on Chol HaMoed something that they don't need immediately, it doesn't make any sense. So if you say that the bright is talking about a case where it's not necessary, then you can't explain the part that talks about the yachid. Vatanya, borot shichin u'me'arot sheyachid konsin mayim letochan, you're allowed to fill them with water, aval lo chotutin, velo shafim et sidgeim, you cannot dredge out the rocks. You cannot seal up the cracks. Vishal rabim, but the public ones, chotutin otan, you can dredge them out. Vishafim et sidgeim, and you can seal up the cracks. Elamai, vishyachid tzarich lahem. So now, what you have to say here is the case where the yachid needs it. The only way to differentiate between the bright that we just quoted and the bright before, one which says that a yachid can do chatita, and one which says that a yachid cannot do chatita, to say, it has to do with the necessity. In a case of necessity, the yachid can do it on Chol HaMoed. When there is no necessity, then you can't do it. So what are we going to do? Now we go back to the original braita that had both yachid and rabbi in a minute, and we're going to say it's a case where it was necessary. So now where it's necessary, elamai, biyachid tzarich lahem. So if that's a case where the yachid needs it in a braita, kabata gabi rabim, in a case where the public, bisharabim tzarich lahem, chafira miyasir. Well, now you're telling me it's a case where the public needs it, then why does that braita say you can't dig? Vatanya borot shichim marot shachid kunsim maim letochan bechotutin otan. You can collect water in them. You can dredge them out. Aval lo shafim et sidgeim. Velo chotutin letochan. You cannot plaster their cracks. Velo chotutin letochan. And you cannot bring in extra scourings to put in to fill in the cracks. Velo sadino to besid. And you can't plaster it with the plaster or the lime. Visharabim. When it comes to a public one, chofrinotan. Visadinotan besid. You're allowed to dig them anew. And you can plaster them to make them waterproof. Elika shahakamaito. How are you going to reconcile this with the first braita that we brought before? The first braita said, ain't chofrim, and now you have a braita that's saying chofrim. So now we're in a bind. We can't explain all the braita to reconcile all the braita together. We have one braita that says, no chafira in terms of a public works. Then we have another braita that suggests that a yachid and rabim have the same din. And then we have a third braita that says that there is chafira by a public works. So how are we going to reconcile all of these braita? So Mara says, Tari Tochi, this is the way you have to explain it. Chotutin borot shel yachid. You're allowed to dredge out the cisterns of an individual. Bishi yachid tzarich lachem. That qualifying remark is that it has to be a case where he needs it. Vein tzarich lomar bishel rabim. That's, of course, by the rabim, that would be the case as well. Kisharabim tzrichim lehem, because when rabim need it, afilu charfira mutar, because in that case you can even dig it out. Vein chovrim borot shichim amarot shel rabim, you cannot dig out the public works on Chol HaMoed. That's b'shein rabim tzrichim lehem. That's when they don't need it. Vein tzarech lomar shel yachid. And certainly, by a yachid, that's not the case. Techi en yachid tzrich lehem afilu chatita nami asur, because the yachid doesn't need it, then even chatita is restricted. So by switching around the braita, by adding in the transition phrases, that allows us to explain that middle braita and reconcile it with all the other braita, which is, first of all, when the rabim tzrichim otam, when the rabim need it, you can even do chafira. When a yachid, he can only do chatita, even when tzarich lehem. If he needs it, he can only dredge, he cannot dig. And with regards to the rabim, if they don't need it, then they can't do chafira, they can only do chatita. So it'll work out that the rabim has that extra level where they can do chafira if they need it. The yachid can only go as high as chatita of dredging out. And then there's the middle category where the tzricha, when it's necessary for the yachid, he can do the chatita. And when it's not necessary for the rabim, they can do chatita as well, but they cannot do chafira. Amar Avashi, matnita nami deka. Our Mishnah, if you're medayek and our Mishnah gives you the same information. Tani, osein, kol tzorchei rabim. You could do anything that's needed for the public. Kol letuye mai. That comes to include what? Lav letuye chafira, which is not mentioned in the Mishnah. The one says, though, letuye haidetanya, comes to include this braita. Yotzim lekavetet the drachim, uletakenet rechovot, veta istretaot. The large thoroughfares, the regular roads, and kavetz means to take out the thorns from the roads. So you're allowed to take out the thorns, you're allowed to fix the smaller roads and the large interstates. Lamod et mikvot, and to measure the mikvot. V'chol mikvah, shein bo arbaim sa'a, any mikvah that doesn't have 40 sa'a in it, margilin letocho arbaim sa'a. We make sure that it has 40 sa'a. Rashi says, margilin, shein ogea b'mikvah amat mayim. It has to touch a spring channel of water in order that it gets to the 40 sa'a. The Bach here claims that's the shita Rashi, that a zavah gedolah requires mayim chayim for mikveh. And that's why he says amata mayim. But if you don't believe that way, then you simply need to bring over more rainwater, connect it to more rainwater in order to have 40 sa'ah inside of it. So, minayim, shalno yatzu vasu kol eile, shekol adamim shenishpechu sham alei aleihem hakatuv ki lehem shafchum. What happens if you don't take care of all of these public works, and then people get injured, people don't become tahor because they think the mikveh is tahor? So there are chataim or isurei tuma that are abrogated because this wasn't taken care of. How do you know that's your responsibility? Tamalomar vaya lecha damim. That you are responsible for the blood spilled. As the Rabbeinu Chananel explains over here, this is a pasuk by Ma'akeh. By Ma'akeh it says, if you don't put up a fence around your roof and somebody falls off of there, you're going to be responsible. So the same thing is true here. Here is something that needs to be done to protect the public at large. If you don't take care of it, then you are responsible for it. Mar says, Habehejik Tanila. That's already written explicitly in our Mishnah. How can you say it comes to include that? Our Mishnah says, Umitaknin et edrachim veta rechovot. You fix the roads and the side roads. Veta mikvot and all the mikvot. Vosim kol tzeichei rabim. Latuye mai. So then the additional statement of all the public works, what does that come to include? Lav latuye chafira. Must come to include digging new cisterns or new water sources in the public domain. Shvaminoah. That our Mishnah is Miduyak, that it also includes that ability to do this for the public, that Chafira is allowed when necessary for the public, otherwise only Chatita is allowed. Mitzayinin et akvorot. You have to mark the graves in order that people know where the Tumah is. Am Rab Shimon Pazi, remez l'tzion kvorot min haTorah minayin. How do we know that min haTorah, that there's a necessity to mark these locations of Tumah? Obviously it doesn't literally mean min haTorah, because they're not going to quote Psukim from the Navi. But how do we know that there's a source for marking the kvarot? And then we'll discuss what the origins of that din are. So Talmud Lomar, it says the pasuk in Yechezkel Atidavo, v'ra etzim adam, that after the battle where there are all these dead lying around, people will say a bone of an individual, ubana etz lo tzion, and you will build around it or next to it a marking so that people know that there is tumah over there. So Amar Le Ravina the Ravashi, ha mikami delete Yechezkel manamar. What do you mean minat Torah? That's only from the time of Yechezkel. So when Chezkel tells us about, okay, now we know the information. Before Yechezkel, what are you going to say? It says, "Blitameich." According to your reasoning, Adam Rav Chista, Davar Zemi Torah Moshe Rabbeinu Lo Lamadnu. This we didn't learn out of the Torah. But Divrei Yechezkel Ben Buzi Lamadnu. We learned it out of the Navi. By Yechezkel, Kol Ben Nechair, Erel Leiv, VeErel Basar, Lo Yovo El Migdashi. That anybody who's a Ben Nechair, Ben Nechair means someone who's Nitnakru Masav the Aviv Shebashemaim. He's left the fold. He's gone out to worship Avodah Zarah. Erolev, Erol Basar, someone who does not follow the ways of Hashem, meaning that he's an uncircumcised heart, but also Erel Basar, someone who doesn't have a Mila, even though the reason he doesn't have a Mila is because two of his brothers passed away because he doesn't have a Mila. Nevertheless, that disqualifies him from being a Kohen and serving in the Mikdash. Mikame Deleta Yechezkel Manamar, without the din of Yechezkel, how do we have known these dinim? El Gemara Gemirila, it was Alocha L'Moshe Misinai, Ba'ata Yechezkel V'asmecha Agra. And then Yechezkel took the Alocha L'Moshe Misinai and codified it by writing it down in the Psukim. So Achanami in our case too. Gemara Gemirila, it's Alocha L'Moshe Misinai that you have to demarcate the Tumah or demarcate the graves. And then Yechezkel brings the Pasuk that codifies that Alocha L'Moshe Misinai that already existed. Rabbi Ba'amar Mihocha, we learned it out from Mitzora. By the Mitzora it says, V'tamei Tamei Yikra, that he has to call out to warn people that he is Tamei. Tum'ah kora lo v'omeret lo perosh. It says that the Tum'ah calls out and says, back away, move away. V'chein amar Rabbi Uziel bar Berei the Rabbi Uziel Rabba. So Rabbi Uziel, the grandson of Rabbi Uziel Rabba, he was named after his grandfather. Tum'ah kora lo v'omeret lo perosh. That the Tum'ah calls out to him and says, separate out. V'hai lohochi yudato. Is that what that pasuk is for? How mi baile? We have another limud from there. Kedetanya tamei tamei yikra tzarich lo diat zaro lerabim. He has to let people know his predicament, because once they know his predicament, rabim mevakshim alav rachamim, then people can pray for him so that he'll be cured and his tzarat will go away. So there's a mitzvah to allow other people to know about the difficult situation you're in order that they can also pray on your behalf. So tamei tamei yikra is that he's informing other people as to his predicament. Tamei says, Imkein lichto vitamei yikra. It'll be sufficient with one tamei. My vitamei tamei. Why does it say tamei twice? Shvamina tarte. You can learn two things from that. Number one is the necessity for the mitzora to let other people know his predicament. And number two is that tamei tamei, the tumah itself has to call out and warn you that there's tumah there. How do you do that? By demarcating where the kvarot are, demarcating where the tumah is. Bayamar mihocha. Lanar despasuk. Lifnei ver lo titen michshol. You're not allowed to put a stumbling block before someone, meaning, you're not allowed to have people be blind to the fact that there's tumah over here. Unless you put marks there that there are kvarot there, nobody's going to know that there someone was buried there. They're going to cross over there, become tumah, not know about it, and then they're going to be violating, going to the mikdash, eating tumah, all the things, are making tarot, tumayot, and then you can't eat them. So all of those things that can happen because you don't demarcate, that's lifnei ver lo titen michshol. You're going to cause people to abrogate the dinim. And therefore he sees the pasuk of lifnei ver lo titen michshol as a source for the need to demarcate the tumah. Rav Papa Amar, the source for putting a tzion is v'amar solu solu panu derech, the aftora for Yom HaKippurim. Solo, solo, clear the way so there is a path to go through. So there you see that you have to make it clear that people can travel on the pathways. Rav Chinin Amar, the latter half of that same pasuk, harimu mishol miderech ami, take away all the stumbling blocks from the paths of my nation. And you got to remove those things that are going to cause problems. That's the tumah. How do you do that? You demarcate the areas where there is tumah. Rav Shua Breder Rav Idi Amar, vodat lehem et aderech yelchuba. You have to teach them the way to go. Well, how do you teach them? How will you make it known the way to go? You demarcate again. You mark off the kvarim wherever they are, and therefore people know where to go. Make a guide or a fence around my laws. Generally, this is used to tell us that the chachamim can't put on gzerot or extra fences around the Torah. Over here, the Gemara is using it because mishmarti, mishmeret, is also a terminology that's used by tumah and by truma to protect truma for coming tamei. How do I do that? Shmartem et mishmarti. Asu mishmeret, make fences, make demarcations that show people where the tumah is so they don't ruin the truma ha-tehora. So that's how you make a mishmeret, a protection against mishmarti to my truma tehora. Ravina Amar, because the pasuk says in Tehilim, b'sam derech ar eno b'yesh elukim. The one who sets his path right, he will see the salvation of God. So you have to put the way right. You'll see the salvation of God by making sure that things are on the right path. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, kol hasham archotav, anybody who weighs his decisions and his ways, so chevro b'shuvato shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he sees in the salvation of God. So nemar, v'sam derech, al tikra v'sam, don't read it as v'sam, to make a path or to have a straight path, ela v'sham derech, to weigh, to assess the way to go, then arenu b'yesh elukim, he will see in the salvation of God. So he's playing on the words to say not just to make a path, but rather to weigh one's footsteps, to weigh one's decisions, to decide what is the right way to go, the wrong way to go, which mitzvah, what mitzvah, aveira, not aveira, all those things that he weighs out to pick the right path, he will see the Yeshua to the salvation of God. Every day he used to ask him questions, and difficult questions, some of which he could not answer. When it came to the Shabbat of the Regel, that they used to be Doresh, Birabim, and all the Bnei of the city, and maybe even places afar, used to come and hear the Rav give his shir. He asked no questions during that shir. Kariyale, he said about him, V'sham derech, or enu b'yesh elukim, really, V'sham derech, but he's using that same play on the word V'sham, someone who is careful about what he does, he will see the salvation of God. Here he understood that there's a proper time to ask questions, and a time where you shouldn't ask questions. You can ask questions when it's just a classroom, when it's a smaller group, when it's the large community as a whole. It's not the proper time to stump Rabbi Yanai or to ask those types of questions because that will undermine him. It also caused problems in this year. And he understood that. So he knew when to ask the questions and he was complimenting his decision process. Tarabanan, Eimit Zayanin, Loal Kazait Min Amet, Vela Etzem Kisse Ora, Vela Davar Sheinu Mitame Boel. This is the basic principle. You do not mark something that is not mitame b'tumat oil. We are less worried about tumat maga and even tumat hesed, because over time things will deteriorate and they won't be. It'll get covered over, it'll get ruined or moved, and therefore it's not a problem in terms of maga or hesed. The real problem I'm worried about is ohel, which in a location, if you're ma'ahil on the area of the mate, sufficient of the mate, then you are going to be tame. So again, if it's not mitame boel, etzem kisora, which is the etzem, the size of a sarah, can even be a little bit bigger than that, but a size that does not reach the level by which it's mitame boel, you don't have to mark. Kazait min amet, which we're going to see in a second, is mitame boel. So the Gemara is going to explain why it is that a kazait min amet is exempted. Ava, what are you mitzayinin? Al shidra, on the spinal column, val gulgolet, on the skull, arov binyan, varov minyan, if you have the majority of the structure of the skeleton, arov minyan, the majority of bones in the body of the mate, all of those are mitame ba'ol, therefore you will mark them. Ve'ein mitzayinin ala vado'ot. You're not mitzayin things where people know for certain that there is tumah there. Ve'ein mitzayinin ala sfekot. But we do mark off areas that are a safek, meaning that places that everybody knows, then you don't need to mark them because nobody's going to go there anyway. The places that are problematic are places where there's safek. There you have to mark it so people know exactly where not to go, or they are now aware of the fact that there's a problem in that area. What is called a sveikot? Sechachot, uferaot, ubeta pras. These are the three things that are considered to be sveikot. And we're going to see in a second, the Gemara will come back and discuss each one of these. We do not make the marking directly over the tumah, because that's going to cause a problem. Because if you come upon the tumah, and now you're at the marking, you're ready to may before you're aware of it. So you have to give people notice about it. The way Rashi reads it, you have to put a marking around the tumah, not directly over the tumah. Other Rishonim learn that you have to put it around the Tumah and on the Tumah itself as well. But you have to give a buffer zone before the Tumah so people are aware of it before they actually become Tameh. But even though you're going to give a buffer zone, you shouldn't put it too far away from the Tumah, because you don't want to ruin places in Eretz Yisrael where they're no longer usable because of the Tumah that's there. It says, one of the items that you mentioned here was a Gazayit Min Amet, and you're saying it's not Mitameh Oh, V'atnan. It's an explicit Mishnah in all those. Elu mitamim bo'el, kazait min amet. Kazait min amet is mitamim bo'el. So I'm Rav Papa who's going to be the person who reconciles a lot of the issues that we're going to have over these dapim. Hocha b'kzayit mitzumtzam askinan. We're dealing here with an exactly a kazait. Sof michsar choser. It's going to, at some point, decay and lose the size of a kazait. And since it's going to decay and decompose, it's going to go away and it won't be a kazait anymore. So mutav yisrifu alav chumah v'kodoshim lefisha. It's better for a short period of time to have people make a mistake and become Tamei. Values for Allah, the Olam. But if you mark it, then it's going to be Tamei forever, when there really is no reason to mark it forever. So it's better to have a short-term problem, to have a long-term clearance there that there's not going to be Tumah, rather than to mark it now to save the near-term, and then in the long-term it's going to not be Tamei, and everybody's going to mark it as Tamei, and then they're going to cause problems in the future. These are the Sveikot, Chachot uFarot. What are these? Sachachot is Ilana Mesach Ala Aretz. That is a tree that is dragging along the ground, or has branches that are very close to the ground. The way Rashi explains it is, the tumah tachad nofechad, the tumah is under one of the branches, he doesn't know which branch it's under, then he marks off the whole area so nobody goes under the tree, because they're uncertain as to which branch it's under, so they have to mark it off so nobody goes over there. Tosafot points out that it has to be samuch lebeit hakvarot. We're talking about something that's near a cemetery. So then we're not certain as to whether the Tumah is under it or not. But since it's a place that is Tanua and it's near the cemetery, there's a possibility that somebody buried something there. Other possibility that Tosfos gives, that we know that there for sure is Tumah, which is similar to what Rashi says there, and there's a gap between the different branches and we don't know where the Tumah is. Here you have two different explanations as to what Ilan Mesach is. Either one is that we know there's Tumah there for certain, we just don't know under which branch it is, or we're not certain there's Tumah there, but because it's adjacent to the cemetery and it's a nice hidden place, we have to assume that maybe somebody buried something there and it's risky, so therefore we'll mark it off as part of the cemetery because of the nature of the shading of the tree and the low branches over there. What are Piraot? Piraot are Avanim, Piruot, or the other girsa of the Groh is that these are Piraot Ayotzim in Ageder. These are pieces of stone that project out of the fence. You know, you have a fence along the way, and then you have these projectiles that come out of the fence. These projectiles can hang over the Tumah. So either, again, you could say that they know there's Tumah under one of them, I don't know which one, or this is a fence that's adjacent to the cemetery. So because you have those projectiles, we're worried about the Tumah, you have to mark off those projectiles so people don't go there because of the possibility that they are also carrying over the Tumah from the Tumah to Ohel because they're so adjacent, approximate to the cemetery. Then, Beit HaPras. What is a Beit HaPras? Kiditznan. HaChoresh et HaKever, Arihu Oseh Beit HaPras. Someone who plows over a field where there was a grave there, that makes it into a Beit HaPras. V'kamu Oseh, how much is considered a Beit HaPras? Melo Ma'aneh. It's the amount of a single till of a furrow. Me'ama, that's 100 amot. So Gemara says, okay, a Beit HaPras, mi'metame bo'el. Wait a minute, is a Beit HaPras mitame ba'oil that you have to mark it off? It's only mitame b'maga and b'hesed. V'amar Rav Yehuda Mashmuel, minapeach adam Beit HaPras, the person can get down on the ground and blow the dirt away from in front of him, oleich, and he can go through there. Talking about a case of a Korban Pesach, a case where he's going to do Mila and he has to be Tahor, he's allowed to go through that field by blowing the ground away, because the only problem is if he comes into contact, maga, or hesed, he moves a bone that's there. We don't assume that the body's together anymore because he plowed it and dragged it over the field. Assumption being that they buried their bodies very shallow in the ground, not deep in the ground, mostly because they were going to come later on maybe and excavate them and then take them to the Kuchim, take them into the family burial catacombs. And so because of that, they might have buried them very shallow, or in the other instance, they had to bury them quickly, so they buried them in shallow ground. They didn't have heavy-duty equipment to dig into the ground, so they dug shallow and they put the body there. So if you plowed over there, the likelihood is the plow dragged the bones all over. So you know if I have a body together, it's going to be metame ba'ol. The only risk is that there are loose bones here that are going to be metame maga or behesait. So now you can blow through there and go through there. So when I said, or, Rav Yehuda bar Ami mishmed ula amar beta pras inidash tohor. A beta pras that has walked over is also tohor. Meaning that that's another way to cure the problem is if you have a path that's been walked over heavily, then there's no longer be a problem of maga or hesait because whatever was there is moved away from all the walking and the bones won't shake anymore when you walk past there or touch the ground because they're so well walked or worn the path, it's not going to shake. There's a difference between a field in which there is a kever lost, and there's a field in which there was a kever that was lost and then got plowed over. So those are both called Beit HaPras, which the Gemara is going to ask. We'll continue with this tomorrow. Is going to ask, is that really true? Are they both called Beit HaPras? And the Gemara will say, yes, there's numerous items that are called Beit HaPras, but these both are in that category. One Beit HaPras is a field in which we have a lost kever. That has to be demarcated because that could be metame ba'ol because the body's still together. We just don't know where it is. The other case of a sedition, nechresh ba'kever, where there was plowed over and the body's now distributed over the field, there you only have a problem of maga and hesed. There you don't have a problem of ohel. Now again, the problem here is only a problem midrabanan. It's a chumra midrabanan by a sedition nechresh ba'kever for tarot that we make you blow through it and we take care of it. But as Tosfos says, it's really not tame at all. We just happen to do it be chumra to take care of tarot. But it's tahor and we don't demarcate it whatsoever. On the other hand, when it's a field in which there's a kever that's lost, there we're going to mark it off because there's a risk of tumat olal and we have to mark it off. Okay, we're going to stop over here.